The United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series. Don't miss your chance to be a part of auto racing history. The United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series offers fast and exciting dirt late model racing throughout Florida, Georgia, and Alabama in 2008. The United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series is coming to a track near you soon. Check it out. UnitedDirtLateModels.com. The United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series.
Sponsored by Central Mobile Homes Incorporated at Central Sheds and Trailers. Homes America.
The United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series
is a presentation of Real Racing USA.
It's time for Southeast Dirt Weekly.
And it is time for the Southeast Dirt Weekly. I'm Jack Smith here at Real Racing USA, and we're going to turn you over to the host of this show, Scott McAllister.
Big Jack, what's up?
Hey, man. Dirt racing, huh?
It is all about dirt racing, man. I tell you, this show is obviously dedicated to dirt racers across the country, Southeast especially, and, you know, we're going to target some of these guys each and every week. Of course, this week here at Ocala and East Bay Raceway Park, man, they got a double dose coming into the 360 Sprint. Talk about it, man. We got the Malabar Missile on the phone with us. We're getting right to it. Kenny Adams. Kenny, I tell you what, thanks for being on the show with us.
Oh, thanks very much for having me.
Tell me your thoughts about coming into the race. Obviously, you told me right before the show started you got rained out last week up in Alabama. Tell me about, obviously, what was going on there and then about this week coming up here at Ocala and East Bay.
Well, we just, sometimes we have to travel quite a ways from home, and last week was about 650 miles one way, and weather was bad, and the promoter was, most people had canceled, so he was counting on the weather forecast being correct, and it didn't clear out at noontime like he thought, so we made a long trip for nothing, but this week we got, 2 hours from the house at Ocala Speedway, and everybody's got a clean slate at that place, so we're excited. I mean, everybody just seems to be so wound up about this place being dirt. I raced on it one time, asphalt, back in 03, but everybody's really excited. I got one sponsor come down from Pennsylvania. He's already down now, and I don't know.
So he's going to be loving the weather, if nothing else, then. The weather's
yeah,
got to be good
yeah.
Well,
you know, with that part. All the airline problems, I was a little concerned about him making it, but he made it down today, so we're ready.
Yeah, if any one thing, it's another, that's for sure. Diesel fuel or jet fuel, either one, you got an issue. But tell me, have you been able to garner any notes from anybody about this track, or were you able to get in touch with anybody? Are you coming out here with absolutely no background or knowledge of what you're going to do and how you're going to dial your car in?
Well, we got a little bit of one of the practice sessions, my one partner, Red Stauffer, guy I've been friends with and raced for and been racing with a long time now, and so he went up and did a practice still test up there one of the practice nights, and so we got a little bit of something, know what gear we got to have,
right,
like that, so we're one step ahead of some of them probably.
At least you're not going totally blind out there, but man, it's got to be tough. Now, you guys have been running the 360s for a long time. I know you started up in Pennsylvania. Tell me about, is that right, Pennsylvania?
Yeah.
Tell me about those days of running up there, man.
Oh, it's a long time ago. But I'm definitely one of the old farts, but, we got a few championships up there and quite a few wins at the Grove and Lincoln and places like that. And, cut my teeth in Pennsylvania, moved to Florida back in 95, and started racing shortly after that down here, and really enjoy racing down here. We get to go to a different racetrack, almost every week, and it's a little more traveling, but it's nice with the camaraderie of the people that we get to travel with.
I did a traveling series for a while, and it's really a lot of fun, too. And it's like you said, you get to go in a band to a different place, so you have this merry band going along with you, this little caravan. So it's kind of cool because you got people there that
Yeah.
But you're going to a different place, so it's kind of cool. And then the people at the different place are always really excited to see you when you come in, so that's kind of cool, too. And yeah, I know you guys always bring a good crowd with you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But, a little different in Florida because the people in Florida are a little more, they've seen sprint cars a little more than some of the places we go, and so they're you get a lot less people coming up saying, how fast will that thing go? but the people in Florida are well-educated and seen sprint cars quite a few times, so we're I'm sure it'll, the fact that we're bringing so many out-of-staters in and so many people that they don't get to see very often, I'm sure we'll have a great crowd.
Tell me about the series itself in general, the how the health of the 360 sprints are going. Obviously, that's a, as you said, a big deal here in Florida and across the Southeast. And is it growing every day? Is it confining itself? Is it shrinking? How's the status of it?
I think it's, you know, 360 sprint cars, you know, was really invented by ASCS head was invented by Emmett Hahn many years ago, and it's been really the salvation of sprint cars for most people, because a working guy, you know, with a little bit of help from a couple people can, you know, can make the thing work. And and you know, it's getting harder with the price of diesel fuel and travel expenses, but it's you know, I forget how many thousand 360 sprint cars there are in the country, but there's many.
Right.
You know, the manufacturers know, because, you know, there's so few 410 guys that they, you know, and all those guys expect everything for free. So the, you know, the bread and butter of the manufacturers is really in the 360 ranks. That's where everybody has to buy their stuff. And so it's a thriving portion of the sprint car field for sure. So we're
and you've seen them come and go, man. Yeah, you've seen it all. You see it come and go, and yet you're still out there. You've already picked up one win earlier this year. Obviously, it wasn't the actual beginning of the series, the season for you, but it was one, a great way to kick off the season. And then, of course, you went up to Alabama and had a great run up there as well.
Yeah, we've had a pretty good start to the year. I hope we can continue.
Okay, so.
You know, we didn't run every single race last year. We missed a few in the middle of the year trying to get moved into a new shop, and we've been thrashing real hard all winter trying to get organized and get ready for a big season. We got, you know, like 60 races on the schedule for this year, and going as far north as New York and as far west as Iowa and Dallas. And
wow.
We have a pretty aggressive schedule for this year. We're just hoping everything works out and everything happens and diesel fuel doesn't go to $6 a gallon, you know.
You ain't kidding. Are y'all planning on running the entire series in the ASCS Deep South?
Yeah, the Rebel region. Yeah, we're definitely planning on running all of it.
Yeah, in the Rebel region, that's right. And yep. how many races is that this year?
In the 20s, I'm not sure.
So not too bad then.
No, that's
pretty good. That's just about right then. And the cool thing about it is as you were saying, y'all don't have to bring eight guys with you to the track. And when you go to the track, how many people actually work on the car?
Usually myself and one other person.
How about that, Jack, man? That's called streamline, baby.
Yeah, that's the good thing about unbodied cars. When you put a body on them, you got to have a couple more people, that's for sure. I mean,
so that's the deal. So what do you think about that, Jack, man? Only two people and one of them's the driver, man.
Yeah, but I do notice, Kenny, some of these teams now, when it comes to the dirt, they, at least on the late models, they have one guy whose whole job is to get the dirt off the car. You got to have one of them?
Yeah, well, no. We just scrape it off ourselves. There's a lot less places for it to hide on our cars. But
that's true.
You know, I mean, I got nothing against late model guys, because let me tell you, that's some tough racing, and there's some really, really talented guys racing late models. So I have all utmost respect for them guys, and it's a whole different breed for them. But, you know, it's just a different animal. And
it is a different animal. I mean, it's really my experience comes from, as you said, the TBARA and the asphalt side, so that's what I've seen the most of. And I always enjoyed the show, and I never will forget the time I asked Don Remo. I was like, dude, the show is fantastic. It only lasts like 8 minutes. And he said, well, that's the whole point of it. And I was like, well, geez, it's just over so quickly. He goes, well, you got to get up on the wheel, man. There's no, you know, let me ride around for 40 laps and see how my car comes in. He says, you got to go.
Yeah, that's why they call it sprint racing.
It's a sprint. That would make a lot of sense. You ain't kidding. Well, man, y'all got to be looking forward to Ocala and then following it up at East Bay. And literally, I mean, the Malabar Missile literally has a shot to come away with both these wins. I know that would be big for you. And but what are your expectations for this weekend?
Oh, we're definitely, we definitely like to win them both. We could, you know, sure use the money. And it's just, you know, all my sponsors will be at both races because it's close to home. And we're, you know, so we're looking to hopefully win them both, but, you know, there's going to be a lot of other people there that have the same expectations, I can promise you that. So it's not going to be easy. There's some really fast guys.
Scott McAllister, Jack Smith on the horn with the Malabar Missile, as a matter of fact, Kenny Adams. And Kenny, wrap it up real quick. Tell me about, you said your sponsors have come all the way down. Tell me about these guys. I know they've been with you for a while. Is that correct?
Yeah, quite a while now. And my main sponsor, Bob Potter, B&W Enterprises, he's from close by there, Palatka, and Satsuma, actually, in Putnam County. So we're
I love it.
What is old Bob up to these days?
Oh, he's still around. He's still around. He's out of the trucking business, and he's trying to retire. It's hard for that guy. I mean, he's really, he's such a hard worker and so hard at it all the time. You know, he's trying to retire, and I'm trying to teach him how to. I'm like, look, here's what you need to do. You need to just cut back.
He's type A all the way.
Oh, my gosh. So he's trying to retire and got his woman Vicky with him there trying to keep him calm down. And then, of course, I got Chubby Chirac, C&B Mushrooms, and then Mrs. Goodson from Goodson Farms. So we're the C&B Mushroom guy, Chubby. He helps a lot of people, and me included, and helps the series from time to time. And I'm sure he'll kick a little money, extra money into the purse on Saturday night, and he'll be walking around. He flew down from Pennsylvania, anxious to get to see some racing because, you know, the weather's been so bad everywhere else. So
I'm going to blow him up, man, when he gets out there. He just wait, man. You know, that's the cool thing. I got the microphone in my hand, so he's going to hear his name a lot. But, you know, regardless of who has the microphone, obviously they're probably going to hear about Kenny Adams and the Malabar Missile. Kenny hard out there. We look forward to seeing you at Ocala tomorrow night, obviously, and gates open up, I think, at 2 o'clock or 5 o'clock, and the races will start at 8 o'clock. So make sure you get out there early and check out Kenny Adams and the rest of the guys in the Rebel region here in the ASCS 360 Sprint Series. Kenny, thanks for coming on Southeast Dirt Weekly.
Sure thing. Thank you very much.
So how about it, Jack? Man, Kenny Adams, 250 feature wins his name. I mean, this guy is gentleman. He is class from start to finish. He kind of reminds me of Buzzy Ruderman. Class act all the way. Once again, if you can take your kid around somebody and say, this is how you should act, and just do exactly what he does, you go a long way.
Yeah, you know, and these guys, you walk around the pits at these races, and, you know, there's no rushing around or no going, you know, hectic activity around the pits. It's just all very calm and cool and collected until they get on the track.
Yeah. And then Kenny turns into the he goes from the nicest guy in the world to, once again, good driver. But, man, I wouldn't want to have him behind me. I mean, I guess you want him behind you other than anywhere else. But, man, I mean, he's tough. He's tough out there on the track. So, you know, I think he uses that to his advantage a little bit. He comes off as Mr. Nice Guy to you, and then he drills you out there on the track. And you're like, damn, man, all of a sudden there goes this car blowing by you. You're like, where did this guy come from? It's fourth and a Malabar Missile because he does, man. He comes off that turn four, and all of a sudden that car lifts off the ground and just launches, and he'll blow past three or four cars at one time. And all these guys do that.
And Scotty, you're doing both Friday night at Ocala, you're the announcer, and then over at East Bay Raceway Park on Saturday night, man. I mean, do you know there are people that would die to have your gig, man? Are you kidding me?
I tell Todd and both, I tell Mike and Angie over here in Ocala, and Todd and Mr. Barnador over there at East Bay. You know, really, I don't want anybody to tell them, but hopefully they're probably not listening to the show. More people listening, but yeah, I do it for free, to be honest with you, man. It's awesome. I'd probably, you know, end up paying them. It would be better because it's unbelievable, man. The racing action that you get at just both these tracks. Right here in Central Florida, you got the best of everything going on right here in Ocala and East Bay. And now they're teaming up to do this 360 deal, or obviously the ASCS is taking advantage of what's out there. And they saw this, you know, deal coming around. They thought, wow, let's do a Friday, Saturday night show. So
now I guess you're
going to be awesome.
Yeah, and you're going to have Matt Tiffany on later in the show.
Matt's going to be on with us. And, you know, we looked at Kenny as one of the veterans. And then so... we're going to have Matt on and be able to talk to him. Is kind of one of the, you know, not, yeah, we'll have to see. I don't even know how old he is, to be honest with you.
Yeah, but he'll be at Ocala now. This past weekend, things got, we got half the night in, or not quite half the night in, but a big part of the night in at East Bay Raceway with the United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series. What'd you think of all that?
Those guys put on a heck of a show, man. And Ken Kenny and those guys, they came in and he and the staff and management at East Bay did everything humanly possible to get that racing in. It was obvious from looking at the radar once it started, it wasn't going to stop. But until then, the racing was once again unbelievable, man. The Nosbitches were out there.
Keith had them covered, man. Keith Nosbitch had him covered, didn't he?
Oh, yeah, he did. But, you know, the freaky thing about this whole deal, the late model deal out there, is Dave Schmoss has yet to win in one of these races, but yet he's a points leader.
Oh, in the weekly shows.
Yeah, in the weekly shows, right. Yeah, I mean, he's only, yeah, exactly, in the weekly show.
And they got to have one of the strongest, I mean, it's that late model program they have there at East Bay Raceway Park on a weekly. I mean, I'm sure they take once in a while off, but they're there a lot of the times, and that's one strong show, man.
It's strong, man. I mean, you look all the way through. You start off with Dave Schmoss. I mean, that guy, that, once again, he drives that car as hard as humanly possible. I mean, that, I know that car's got to be crying every time he takes it back to the pits because he just wails on that thing. Josh Peacock doing an excellent job. Katie Kelly, Bobby Alexander Jr. I mean, and the list goes on and on. Travis Barnett or Marshall Austin Jr. And then you go back, and then, you know, the crazy thing about it is Jackie Nosh Pastoon running in the ninth spot.
Yeah, Roger Krause.
Yeah, Roger Krause, you know, he's digging out there as well. And so, yeah, I mean, so whether you're talking late models and or, like I say, you know, you talk about open wheels and you think Buzzy Rudiman and all the guys that are putting on a whale of a show over there as well. So, yeah, the racing's awesome at East Bay. And then, like you said, the cool part about it is, to kick it off over at Ocala, and as Kenny alluded to earlier, it's clean slate over there, brother. Nobody knows anything, you know, about as far as experience-wise. They can only gather what notes that they can. But other than that, it's hard to take that asphalt experience and kind of translate that over to the dirt, I would imagine. So what
is it like over at Ocala? Now, they've been probably into their maybe sixth show of the year, something like that, a couple of rainouts or something.
Yep.
What's it been like since it changed over? I mean, it's got to be a completely different. I mean, I was there the first night. Of course, we know what that was nuts, off the charts, 4,000 people and a ton of cars. But what is the atmosphere like? What's the fan deal like? What's changed about it? How is it different?
I think the cool part about it is really they're trying to provide entertainment from the second that person pulls into the gate there at Ocala Speedway, from the parking to the parking, and when they enter the parking to when they leave the parking, they want them to be entertained and well taken care of. They conveyed that to their staff, and you know they're trying to do that and bring that, you know, sense of welcome to our track. Thank you for coming. And these guys really do mean that. I mean, that's when the sincerity comes out between Mike and Angie, and they really do welcome the fans out to the track. So the intensity is picked up, and then you add in things like, oh yeah, you know, Doug the Wild Child. Yeah, what a flagman he is, man, up on the flag. And that guy gets it home, brother. So he gets everybody jacked up. And then, yeah, the car count. Yeah, when your car count's over 100 every single time, and it used to be, you know, they would, I really didn't know what it was before Derby.
60.
I can imagine it being 70 or 80 cars.
60, so. 70, 80. 80 would have been a good one.
Yeah, and so now 80, they've had obviously well over 80 every single night. And, you know, and that's even with the weather not really cooperating. So that's kind of not really kicked anybody back, but sometimes it stops the momentum that you get built up. But it didn't stop Ocala, that I can tell you. It hasn't stopped yet. The momentum's there, the excitement's there. And then Mike and Angie, look, they're bringing in the, you know, the 360s. They're bringing in the monster trucks. They're going to be here. I mean, and these monster trucks, they're the real deal. I mean, there's, you know, Gravedigger. I don't even know what they are, but they're going to be here. And Larry, as a matter of fact, my friend Larry is going to be down here to announce that. So,
well, you know, the What are the classes? They got the late models. Besides the late models, what do they run there on a regular basis? What are these gladiator things?
Gladiators are, man, I think they're, you know, just knock the windows out of your grandma's car, 6-4-cylinder things, and they get out there. Heck, Mike Peters has been driving one of them. That class has been hard to figure out. I think it was a new class, I think, for Mike, so he's trying to figure that class out. And like I said, he went out there and ran second the other night, so that was pretty cool. But yeah, they got mini stocks out there. That's kind of, you know, they have a good show. Let's see, there's 12 mini stocks out there the last time. Not many gladiators, but let's take a look at this. Oh, 24 late models.
That's good.
A pretty good show, you know. And then the hobby stocks, they hit 25. So, you know, a good round field of cars there. Of course, then they got the V8 stocks out there as well. So, the V8 Thunder stocks, as they call them.
So are the guys in the, I mean, obviously the guys from late models will be coming from other places because they race. You know, at East Bay and North Florida, Volusia, and out, probably somewhere else on Saturday night. So, or Hendry County races on Saturday. Do the guys that come there on Friday to race at Ocala, are they locals or are they coming from all over?
They come from really from all over, and that's kind of the cool thing because, once again, as we know, I know mostly the asphalt guys. It's fun meeting all the new guys, but, of course, this last show out there that we, you know, they ran a full night on, Kevin Durden and Patrick Williams were there. So it's like, oh, I know these guys. Stir Fry, what's up? I knew all those guys. And, of course, Mike Bresnahan was there as well. So those guys I knew, then there were plenty I did not know. Josh Peacock, you know, Nosfish and all those guys were out there. So, It's really some of everything coming to Ocala, and that's kind of the cool thing is it's kind of melding down now where you're getting some of these guys that, hey, they used to go run Volusia, and they still do, don't get me wrong, and they still go run over there, those doggone Enduros that they have, Kevin Durden and them, they go over there and run them all the time, and they go across the southeast, across the country to run those things.
Mike Peters could put on a dirt roller skate racing deal, and Kevin Durden and Patrick Williams would be running in it and probably winning it.
I'm here to tell you, those guys, I used to think, man, hey, let's just go get me one of those little cars and let's go race. I'll get, you know, somebody to drive and things, and we'll do it. And then I found out, oh, I'm sorry, they're like, man, those are serious stuff. I thought they were beater cars, and it's not like that at all.
Really?
They're not like that at all. No, I mean, you know, they don't. I really don't think I've ever seen an Enduro, to be honest with you, like sat in and saw one. I just heard about Kevin and them going over there and killing them during these Enduros. And I was like, what the hell, man? Let's go get one of these cars. And somebody said, man, they're not, you know, $5,000 cars. So I was like, oh, I'm sorry. I thought they were just junker cars. But no, they're not, man. They put a lot of time and effort. But they went $10,000. So you're like, oh, I see.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? Can you imagine, in your experience, and one of these shows here, I think we need to let everybody know, because, you know, on this show, as we go along, Scott, there's going to be there's a lot of audience people in the audience that have never heard of you.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly right.
Yeah, so later on we'll have to get into, like, how you got into all this, but can you imagine in your travels around the asphalt world, which you're most familiar with, a $10,000 race like that?
No, never, ever, ever.
Not even Leroy Davidson would pull that one.
I mean, really, it would never even come to my mind to think about doing that on the asphalt side. Now, obviously, I'm sure it's been tried. Lord knows, I'm sure Don Nerone, if it's been done on pavement, you know, I'm sure he's done it. But I've never seen one. Yeah. I probably would like to see one, and hopefully maybe Ocala or East Bay will maybe think about doing one of those. I don't have any idea how that works, but I know Kevin and Durden and Patrick Williams are teaming up on everybody to whoop them when they come around here and do that stuff. But, yeah, so, you know, Ocala's really picked up the momentum and the hype is up. And now, like I said, you throw in, okay, oh, yeah, the 360s are coming in town. That's pretty cool. You know, I mean, that's new and it's still racing. It's going to be hyped up. But now they've thrown in this little added twist, 360 sprints coming in. So people that were new to racing saw, hey, they knew late models, you know, they've seen them maybe, or, you know, open wheel modified. They kind of, you know, they're kind of the same looking cars, but these cars, unless you've seen them before, they're different. I mean, it's really different, and these cars are wide open. They're wide open.
Scott, I'm looking here at a map of the southeastern United States, and this is the Southeast Dirt Weekly, and you got Louisiana, Arkansas, Alabama, Tennessee.
Yeah, and, you know,
I mean, Georgia.
Yeah.
And you know, on Tuesday night.
Florida, I didn't know we're here.
Oh, absolutely. And on Tuesday night this past week, you know, on Real Racing USA Live, Rick Angies and I talked with the folks up at the promoters up at Friendship Speedway up in North Carolina. And they just went back They just went back to dirt. And they haven't had their first race yet. Their first race is coming here later this month. And that was amazing. I mean, the track has been asphalt up there for 5 years. And Dennis Wood and Phil Hall up in Elkin, North Carolina, took Friendship Speedway back to dirt. And they've got a lot of the same things that, you know, like over at Ocala, when they remember on the day of the race when they opened up, they had that big article on the front page of the local paper, the Ocala Star Banner. Those guys up at Friendship, of course, they've talked to Mike and Mike Peters at Ocala, and they've talked to a lot of other people, of course. And they got the same kind of thing cooking, man. They got a big spread coming the day before their opening night, and they're looking
They'll get the same reaction.
We can't wait to get back to them. We told them we'd get back to them right after and see how they did. But, yeah, there's a lot of dirt racing going on.
I guarantee you it'll be packed. Here in Ocala that first night, as you said, man, you couldn't have put a piece of DNA inside that. You could have put one more person inside that place. It was packed. Now, is it that way now? Not quite as packed, but it's probably, you know.
You're selling some hot dogs and beer.
They're selling some, brother. I mean, and it's a lot better going to the racetrack when you can. I mean, it's just a lot more fun for the drivers, for the fans, for everybody. People get jacked up. And think about it, man. Kenny Adams can bring his sponsors to Ocala.
Exactly.
And say, look, look, this is who we market to. And the stands are going to have 2,500 people in it.
Yeah, great lighting. Great lighting there.
What? And so we're just all excited as all get out. And when you hear stuff like that, man, you go like, ooh,
who?
Wow, from Pennsylvania.
Before we go to break here, you might want to give out the phone numbers too, but I want to ask you, who takes the sprayer and cleans off them aluminum grandstands?
You know, I don't know. It's probably Todd Hutto. He does it all. I'm telling you, in between him and Mr. Varnador, as I like to call him, they do it all.
No, I mean up at Ocala.
Oh, at Ocala? It's probably Mike Peters. He lives in that track. He lives there, dude. I'm telling you that day, the night before that race, and it was raining and all, he was out there. He was on that tractor, dude. He's become a professional grader. And as you're talking about the number to call in here, Southeast Dirt Weekly, it is 941-426-6760. That's 941-426-6760. Call in if you got a question about Southeast Dirt Weekly, what's going on. Tell me about what's going on in your area of the woods. Jack and I would like to hear about, yeah, what is going on in Louisiana, Alabama, Georgia, Tennessee, South Carolina, North Carolina, all over the place. But we're going to break it here in just a few minutes. But once again, I want to thank everybody for listening to Southeast Dirt Weekly. We'll be back right back. And when we come back, we're going to get Matt Tiffany on the phone, also a driver in the 360 Sprint Series and the ASCS 360 Sprint in the Rebel region here in Florida and Southeast. Once again, the number to call is 941-426-6760. And you're listening to Southeast Dirt Weekly.
Be right back.
Hi, I'm Don O'Neill, driver of the number 71 race car, and you are listening to The Real Racing USA.
When purchasing a technical product like brakes, there is no substitute for quality and experience. In the performance industry, no one has more experience than the brake man. The brake man has been designing high-performance solutions for a variety of applications for almost 40 years. The current products from the brake man are among the most advanced on the market. The Tornado calipers are the only calipers in the performance industry to carry a U.S. patent number and their new line of pads and rotors. The Brakeman Super Brakes are solving brake problems on hard-use vehicles, from police cars to ambulances and a variety of fleet vehicles. So if you're towing a trailer, carrying heavy loads, or just plain want to extend the life and stopping power of your vehicle, it's time to call The Brakeman on the web at TheBrakeman.com.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Pro Sports Heckler Guy.
Mr. Pro Sports Heckler Guy.
They say those who can't play, coach. Apparently those who can't coach sit 30 rows back, shirtless, shouting obscenities.
Oh, that's right, motherfucker.
Thanks to you, our team is armed with game-winning tips like catch the ball and throw it.
Shout it out loud.
You stink. That sucks. What a bunch of losers. Not just catcalls, but subtle psychological ploys to prod your team to victory.
Reverse psychology.
So here's to you, old Sultan of Shouting. Because while there may be no I in team, thanks to you, there's always an F and a U. Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Hey, Scotty, we're back.
Hey, welcome back to Southeast Dirt Weekly. Yeah, we were talking. Yeah, I was just thinking to myself, man, as I was going on. I was thinking earlier today, I was somebody going, Yeah, oh, it was you, as a matter of fact, that was saying, yeah, somebody else said he was taking a step back and maybe doing some dirt racing, and I was thinking to myself, DJ, you ain't taking a step back. He was a NASCAR driver. He said, yeah, he's going back to his roots and going to take a step back and do dirt racing. I was like, jeez, taking a step back? He's really going to pick up now. It's cool to see how many of these guys were former dirt racers.
Yeah, I tell you, it's the competition from what I have seen comparing on the local level around the South, because, you know, we look at literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of race reports and rundowns from around the Southeast in dirt and asphalt, and the competition level, I would have to say, in general, is much higher at the dirt tracks. There's always lots of exceptions to that, of course.
Exactly.
But overall, I mean, when you got 25 mini stocks starting in a race,
that makes for a good race. I don't care what field.
Yeah. Now there are some, you know, like in Florida, for instance, you ain't going to knock Citrus County with their asphalt program. 34 pure stocks, you know, that's a good deal. But that's not that's the exception, not the rule. There's a lot more. But in general, there's a lot more stiffer competition for the top spots at the weekly shows at the dirt racetracks, or at least it appears that way to me.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. You know, once again, nothing. I told the other day, I said, you know, I'm hooked on this dirt race.
Well, I think we might have skipped a gear there with Scotty's phone connection, so I'll tell you what we're going to do is we're going to go fix that, so we'll be right back.
Challenge Series. Don't miss your chance to be a part of auto racing history. The United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series offers fast and exciting dirt late model racing throughout Florida, Georgia, and Alabama in 2008. The United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series is coming to a track near you soon. Check it out. UnitedDirtLateModels.com. The United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series.
Sponsored by Central Mobile Homes Incorporated and Central Sheds and Trailers. Homes America.
The United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series.
Hi, I'm Tyler Ivey, driver of the number 47 car, and you're listening to Real Racing USA.
All right, we fixed that problem.
Sorry, man, my phone works everywhere except for my house.
We got that back together here. So,
So, and that's the whole cool thing about this deal is you got the grassroots racers, which is really what racing's all about, and having fun and coming out there. Many of these guys, man, a lot of these guys don't have any aspirations of going any further. This is it. This is what they're coming to do, and they come out and have fun. And so I think that's the cool part about it is they come out there, and you can see the fun that they're having, and that, you know, translates over into the crowd, and then they start to have fun too. So it's a blast, man, and I can't wait. But, you know, a little bit about the rundown is, you know, Race Report Rundown being brought to you by Brandon Ford and, of course, Ford of Ocala. Up, of course, in Alabama and Georgia, of course, they had the Thursday, Friday, Saturday night show with Lucas Oil Dirt Late Model Series there. Man, they must have got it over there. I thought they had bad weather, but then I read this race report, and I had a chance to see Todd, and I guess they rock and rolled up there all weekend long. Terry Casey, you got to see him earlier this year at Winter Nationals at East Bay, and, of course, he won, Thursday night over at Swainsboro, and then the next night out, it was over at Screven. Scott James to the win out of Indiana. Scott out of Indiana took the lead from Tim Dome from Charlton, West Virginia. And, I mean, that Tim Dome, brother, holy smoke, that guy can drive. So Scott James, obviously, a good job there. And that was, I think that was Friday night up in Pennsylvania, Georgia. Where's that at? Screven?
Screven. Georgia.
I've never been to Screven.
Yeah, we're going to go there. As a matter of fact, we're going to be broadcasting the Real Racing USA is going to be broadcasting United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series race live from Screven later this year.
You got to love that, man. You see, y'all get to go. See, that's a good thing about I get to work East Bay, Ocala.
I thought it was a misprint the first time I read it. Screven. What's that?
I know. Screven. Where in the world? My dog's going off about that. I got a hound dog in the back. No better time to talk about Screven than when my dog's going off.
Yeah, Screven.
And then, obviously, the next night was the big night, man, over at Brunswick. A Golden Isle. Holy smoke, 49 laps. It was Scott Blomquist. And then on the last lap, you got to be kidding me, the Hurricane Earl Pearson Jr. comes out to take the checkered flag to win that, $10,000 to win race there in Brunswick, Georgia. So, You knew that was jacked up, man.
Now, what do you think the fans were doing when that was happening, okay, in the grand? Now, you and I, neither one of us were there. What do you think was happening in the grandstands when Earl Pearson did that, pulled that off?
Yeah, I got chill bumps right now. I literally have chill bumps thinking about the fans must have been on.
They must have been on their feet screaming their brains out.
Yeah.
One, because a lot of people, I mean, let's just be real, Bloomquist has his share of detractors, and it's Hurricane's backyard.
It's Hurricane's backyard. Is, you know, Florida's, you know, they can put their claim to fame in this dirt asphalt deal, and in this dirt late model deal, and that's their claim to fame, and with good reason too. I mean, holy smoke, Earl Pearson Jr. So yeah, they must have been blown up there in Brunswick, and 50 laps of $10,000 to win action. Yeah, that had to be off the hook up there. And then you throw in people like Steve Casebolt also there. You know, I mean, dude, there's some big time names up there. And so, you know, as we were talking about the grassroots racing, man, that's what it's all about. But every once in a while, you get something like this come in, and I'm telling you, man, when you get a chance to see these Lucas Oil Dirt late models, believe me, please. Please go get a ticket and go see these guys.
That's a guest thing for you too, man. One of these nights, you got to hook up and get Frankie Lloyd on this show. I think you'll have a good time with Frankie.
I think I got to get Scott Bloomquist on the phone and just see how, you know, mean of a guy he is. Obviously, he's like a mean guy out on the track. You think,
didn't he turn his car upside down and flip it upside down the first time in his career at East Bay Raceway in February?
He certainly did it at East Bay, that's for sure. He put it on this lid right out there and right over in between turn 3 and 4.
If I'm not mistaken, he had said that was the first time that ever happened.
I wouldn't doubt, but I kind of do doubt. I mean, I find that amazing. I don't doubt that he's got to tell the truth, but I find that amazing because he drives that car, I mean, whipping it, brother. That thing, you talk about tied to the whipping post, that car is done when it goes to the pits because he squeezed everything he could get out of it. That thing screams down the coming out of turn 2 at East Bay. I mean, it's just the sound of it alone is unbelievable. And then you get 40 of them out there, it's like, or 26 of them, and you're like, it looks like 40. That's for sure. And then you get the sprints out there that are going to be this week. It's unbelievable. And so it's some great racing. But, man, but it just goes to show, it's across the Southeast. Hey, his same Southeast Dirt Weekly, because in Brunswick, Georgia, brother, they're tearing it up. I don't understand, though, Jack. I went over to this guy's race. I got to have this guy on the track, on the show, too. That why would I go to the Brunswick, Georgia track at this goldenelf.com? Does he have a sign on there that says about closing up? We're not closing up. Of course they're not closing up.
No. What did you have a question about that?
No, yeah, I have a question. Why did he put, what, do they have some issues up there at Golden Isle? How can they have that when they have this Lucas Oil Dirt late miles there? I mean, it had to be packed to the hill out there.
Well,
what's the issue going on?
You know, you got me on there because that when you said that earlier, that's the first the first I'd heard of that.
No, it's right here, man. The Golden Isle Speedway, Brunswick, Georgia, and then I go over here in the news. Maybe it's just hasn't been updated news from Frankie. There's been talk about a track getting sold and closing down, and Frankie said the track is not for sale and never will be. We're not closing the track the past couple of races.
Well, like I said earlier, you need to get Frankie on here one of these nights because he's interesting, no doubt.
You know, and there's a little bit of dirt background that I have. Golden Isle, every time I read about it, they got big-name races going on.
Absolutely.
$15,000 to win races. I'm thinking to myself, I'm going to get up there because it's got to be packed out. And then I saw that, I was like, you got to be kidding me. But, you know, every track obviously is having, I mean, it's tough to run a track no matter what. And I don't know what the issues are up there. And like you said, maybe we'll have Frankie on and see. Perhaps they've overcome all that. I got to think, man. Holy smokes. But I tell you what, I take a lot these dirt fans, man, they really have been spoiled, I think. Especially here in Florida. I mean, a lot of times, it's just like you said, it's a, man, you could go back to the asphalt side. And no offense over there. Good racing. Great guys, but. Hey, you over there. So, you know, I think these sometimes they take it a little bit for granted. But, hey, while it's there, you know.
Last week, Scotty, you had Alan Tippin from the Louisiana driver who's from the AMP Dirt Late Model Series out in Arkansas land.
Arkansas, man.
Remember him? Well, he's leading. Yeah. He's leading the points in that series. They had a rainout last week, but they've had a couple races. He's leading the points. But Billy Moyer Jr.
God, that boy is on fire.
Billy Moyer Jr. Yeah.
I mean, literally, you couldn't put him out with a doggone fire truck, man. That man is on fire, and he has been.
But you know that. Now, that's this Billy Moyer Jr. is like the son.
He's like his old man probably killed him. I don't know, but I just know that
he's fifth in points in that deal. And,
it seems like every track every race he goes, he's a winner. But I know that that's not the case. But it certainly seems that way. But man, they got their program together. That deal going on, that Moyer gang. Holy smoke!
There's something in the water. There is something in the water in Batesville, Arkansas.
If spring them out of there. You ain't kidding, man. And a lot of great drivers have come out of there. They still got it all going on over there. A lot of racing. I mean, that's, you know, we think about racing and where, of course, you think North Carolina. I'm going to have my friend Brad Atkins on here. He's a guy, he works with the 16 crew up in North Carolina, the truck team. I'll have him on in a couple weeks. But
they're going dirt racing, huh?
They're going dirt racing. But no, they go dirt racing every once in a while. As a matter of fact, Brad was the first one to tell me. He told me about 10 years ago, he said, dude, you just don't know. You got to go to the dirt track. And I was like, I don't know. Never, ever went, man. Then, of course, he calls me now for race reports both Friday and Saturday nights. Literally, he'll call me from the track wherever they're at, not during the race. But he'll call me before the race and go, okay, man, what's going on? And I'll tell him who's there. And I say, man, Buzzy's up on the wheel. He's digging, you know. He's like, oh, man. So, and then he screams it out, and you hear all the guys in the background, the 16 crew, like, yeah. So, yeah, they go dirt racing up there all the time in North Carolina whenever they get a chance. Sunday. They go every single Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. There's some place running up there almost every night of the week, I bet.
Yeah, you ready for Matt?
Ready, man. Let's get him on.
All right, we'll be right back, and I guess we're going to have Matt Tiffany, sprint car driver, going to join us.
There you go, Southeast Dirt Weekly.
My name is Roger Rudiman. You're listening to Real Racing USA.
When purchasing a technical product like brakes, there is no substitute for quality and experience. In the performance industry, no one has more experience than the brakeman. The Brakeman has been designing high-performance solutions for a variety of applications for almost 40 years. The current products from the Brakeman are among the most advanced on the market. The Tornado calipers are the only calipers in the performance industry to carry a U.S. patent number and their new line of pads and rotors. The Brakeman Super Brakes are solving brake problems on hard-use vehicles, from police cars to ambulances and a variety of fleet vehicles. So if you're towing a trailer, carrying heavy loads, or just plain want to extend the life and stopping power of your vehicle, it's time to call the Brakeman on the web at thebrakeman.com.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Pro Sports Heckler Guy.
Mr. Pro Sports Heckler Guy.
They say those who can't play, coach. Apparently those who can't coach sit 30 rows back, shirtless, shouting obscenities.
Oh, that's right, motherfucker.
Thanks to you, our team is armed with game-winning tips like catch the ball and throw it.
Shout it out loud.
You stink. That sucks. What a bunch of losers. Not just catcalls, but subtle psychological ploys to prod your team to victory.
Reverse psychology.
So here's to you, oh Sultan of Shouting. Because while there may be no I in team, thanks to you, there's always an F and a U.
F-U.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
All right, welcome back to the this edition of Southeast Dirt Weekly.
What? It's we're moving along on the phone with us. We got a driver in the ASCS 360 Sprint Series, Matt Tiffany. Matt, thanks for being on Southeast Dirt Weekly. You got me, Matt?
Yeah, what's up?
Oh, Matt, thanks for being on Southeast Dirt Weekly. You said you got the car all packed up, y'all loaded and ready to come over to Ocala. Tell me about this weekend, what you think about coming to Ocala Speedway.
Well, I really don't know what to expect because no one knows.
We talked to Kenny Adams earlier, and obviously he was saying, I've only run, you know, one race over there many, many years ago on asphalt. So it's kind of the cool thing. Everybody seems a little bit leveled out because I don't know how many notes anybody has on this track, and obviously in a 360 sprint, that's not many.
Yeah, well, he's got a little advantage on me because I don't think I was even around back then.
You ain't kidding. Before we go any quick, before we go any further, I'm going to ask you, how old are you?
I'm 18.
So he's 18 years old. So see, Jack, I did. I had the veteran driver on, Kenny Adams, and now I have the young driver, Matt Tiffany, on with us.
He's the gray-haired one, and I'm the young and stud one.
Now you've won. But Matt, you've won some races now.
Oh yeah, I've been racing for a long time, but not nearly as long as someone like Kenny. That's for sure.
I like how you say that. But tell me, obviously, you know, I see you've got. I'm looking on the side over here, the ASCS side, and it says, obviously, you got wins at Lanier, Georgia. That's got to be cool running over there. That's not the Lanier track, the asphalt track. That's a different dirt track, right, in Lanier?
No, that's actually an asphalt track.
That's really Lanier next place. That's Lanier next to the road course, right?
Yeah, across from the road, Atlanta.
Yeah, so you ran there. You ran on asphalt.
Yeah, when I first started, I ran with the USCS. And they have a pavement and dirt national series. And they run, like, maybe 15% pavement races, and that's one of the main tracks that we used to race at.
Your answer.
Oh, man. So, see, now he does. See, maybe you can use some of that experience to use that over here at Ocala. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I thought about running Ocala when it was pavement a couple times with the TBRA.
Yeah.
It just had conflicting schedules with other races that we had going on, so we weren't able to make it.
So you're all running the full series here, and this is the Rebel region. You're running the full series down here?
Yeah, we're going to try to run the points this year with Kenny and all those guys and see how we do. And
third in points now.
ASCS national races as well.
Third in points now, you got to be happy with that. Obviously, like I said, there's only been one race, but still you got that momentum and some good runs at Winter Nationals as well.
Yeah, we actually, we tore the car up real bad in the last night of Winter Nationals, and the only race that we've had so far in the season was a week after that, so we pretty much had to thrash and throw a car together. Weren't really as prepared as we'd like to been for that first race, but it went pretty well anyway.
And then the other thing I wanted to ask you about, so you come out of there, man, once again, I know I got kind of choked. You've been there, I'm sure you've already done this deal, done the Dog and Pony Show, but East Bay, man, the Winter Nationals, when you go there, he had a lot of cars. I mean, I'm just not used to that, man. There was 100 cars there. I mean, racing. I just never imagined that many cars at one track in one division.
Yeah, it's a blast because, you know, it's a real test to see where you're at. Each year, you know, a guy like me, I'm really young.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's cool to see, like, if you get better each year. Like, the first 2 years I ran there, I only made it 2 out of 3 nights. This is the first year that I made it all 3 nights. You got guys from the Outlaws, like, coming and running the B Main at 360 Nationals. It's really intense competition. It's kind of cool to run with those guys each year.
Yeah, I mean, it's like you said, you have to go into it the first year going, I just want to make one night, and then you made 2, so obviously you build from there, but still, you look out there, man. First of all, just the amount of cars is kind of breathtaking, just that alone. And then, like, say you put the names out there, and you're like, wow, that guy's won, you know, 20 or 30 races. And, oh, Kenny has, he's won 250 races. And so, I mean, it's got to be a little daunting, but still, nonetheless, your guys went up there and performed well.
I mean, yeah, you're a little starstruck at first, but once they start passing, and once you start passing them, it all goes out the window pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I said, I think that Kenny Adams just comes across as a really nice guy until he puts his helmet on. Then he turns into, you know, Mr. Mean Guy. But actually, no, he's a... obviously a clean racer. Tell me about the ASCS series, man, and the guys you run with. Like I said, it's like a little, you know, you build up your little camaraderie there with your guys, and even though you're competing on them at the track, you travel all around together, so you get to be pretty close. How's that work out for you?
It's good. I've actually become real close friends with a lot of the guys on tour, and Kenny's actually kind of hooking me under his wing a little bit. You know, he's taught me the ropes, and him and Terry Gray, you know, all the veteran guys, they're always willing to help. That's the most important thing, because they don't want to turn it away. They want to help you out, because we came into sprint cars not knowing anything.
Where did you come from? What were you doing? What were you doing before this?
Big go-karts and mini sprints. And my dad, he grew up in late models. So, I mean, we really had no grasp of what the whole sprint car situation was. And the veteran guys were just a lot of help starting out.
What led you to go down the 360 path when you looked out there and saw late models and modifieds and asphalt cars and drag cars and everything else? You said, no, I want to buy me a 360 sprint. What led you down that road?
Well, we looked at the situation at, like, I grew up going to the races at New Smyrna Speedway.
There you go.
And you'd go down there and watch the late model races, and it was cool atmosphere and everything. And then I got into mini sprints because my dad actually had run a mini sprint before and said it was the most fun he ever had in a race car. And he's run all sorts of different stuff.
Wow,
so we ended up going down that road, getting out of go-karts, and we were at Volusia Speedway Park, and the big sprints were there. The 360.
Right.
And I was like, oh my God. I was 14 years old at the time, and I'm like, wow, awesome. You know, they're going so fast. Running like 13, 14 second lap times around a half mile dirt track, and I just thought that was really cool.
As a youngster coming into this sport, where do you, I asked Kenny about this too, the future of the 360s, man, they're going fast. They're going faster and faster and faster. Has anybody ever thought of perhaps slowing the cars down a little bit? Or are y'all guys not about that at all? We're not about slowing down at all, obviously.
No, that is no fun. Come on.
Nix that idea. But but these cars are going faster. I mean, y'all got them hooked up now, but it seems like every race the track record is being broken, it seems like.
Yeah, I mean, obviously technology just gets better and better each year. You know, people get a better understanding how to make cars go faster. But those, when I think we run like 13-second lap times around East Bay.
Yeah.
Those 410 guys show up. They run
11.5,
12 seconds. Those guys are really fast.
And
slowing down, it's them.
Yeah, well, exactly. That could be true. And once again, it's only because I don't know what I'm talking about, to be honest with you. But yeah, I saw these cars out there. The cool thing is about the 360s, man, you see a car come off turn two. And, I mean, it looks like you're shot out of a cannon. Rear tires catch, and, I mean, you're launched down that back straightaway.
Yeah, that's just one of the cool things about sprint cars. A lot of horsepower, a lot of rubber touch on the track, and then just a lot of wing, a lot of downforce. They're just built to go fast.
All right, Matt, it's time for the dumb question category here, okay?
Okay.
Now, you race on dirt, and you race on asphalt. It would seem to me, just as a fan, and I've never been in a sprint car, and God forbid that I ever do get in one, but it would seem to me that racing on asphalt would be something a little like ice skating compared to being on dirt. Is that, like, just completely wrong?
Well, it's two completely different tires.
It's what? Say that again.
Licks on the pavement, and you got the tread on the dirt. And the tires are so big. I mean, what's possible with and it's just a lot of grip. There's downforce and pavement. You still get sideways and you put tires a little bit, but it really sticks to the track. I mean, obviously you can't run wide into the corners if you go on dirt. But, I mean, it's not going to happen.
I tell you what, can you explain that again? Because what happened was, I think your cell phone connection kind of got a little funky on us right there. Could you explain that again?
I want to hear that, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
There you go.
The pavement tires are all, they're slick. And the tires are so large. So much downforce that sticks right to the pavement. Depending on the surface, I mean, if it's a broken pavement track, it's going to have a lot of grip. You need to come to all the places. It's kind of ice a little bit. But for the most part, it has a lot of grip.
So So, yeah, that grip on that wing, man, just slamming it down. And if it wasn't for that, once again, we watched some of those wingless sprints come around, and I've seen them run on asphalt, which is really amazing. And I know you guys, y'all probably taken that wing off before. Done that. Do y'all do that as well?
I only ran without a wing once, and it wasn't on purpose.
Literally, you're driving on a track, and was it a fly-off or was it a wreck?
Oh, it was a wreck. It was the one I was only in mini sprints, too, and it was crazy.
So I've
never driven without a wing before other than that.
So, Matt, basically what you were saying there is because of the wing on and the tire combination on the asphalt, the downforce makes it kind of much the same thing? It's not a whole lot different than dirt? Is that what you were getting at?
Well, I mean, obviously you're not going to be ways all the time, and you do have to spend some more. I mean, you can't run flat out all the time.
Yeah, gotcha.
You half-mile high bank play. So it's a different element. I mean, the car, it's more like driving a go-kart on pavement. If you've ever driven a go-kart.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Then.
So it's just all the time flipping and sliding. It wants to break loose at every second.
Yeah, it's a little more finessey. And I think dirt's more racy. I've actually, when I first started out, I think pavement is more easy to get used to. And it takes less experience to get fast at, I think. You know, the dirt takes time. You know, you got to learn the ropes, learn what to do, what not to do. Pavement is pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
Running the 360 series, you've been doing this a while. And I say that a while. You've been doing it, for 4 years now, I guess? Four years?
Yeah, it's been my fourth year.
This will be your fourth year, and you won the Rookie of the Year, is that right?
No.
Were you in 2005?
I was a National Sprinter Hall of Fame nominee, but
there you go.
We had a bunch of problems our rookie year. We weren't able to win rookie points. Bren Gohan, actually.
Okay, that's pretty cool. So, once again, you're running this series. Tell me about, you said you're going to try to make every one of these races. Any other plans that y'all got going on to run any other big shows or perhaps run an asphalt deal? Have you got anything cooking in that area?
No. I mean, I'm always looking for open driving spots and looking to move my way up in the ranks, but...
Got to take up most of your time here, I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, I've got a lot of free time more than I used to. We used to run like 62 races a year, which was, I mean, we were packing up every weekend and going to three races at a time.
Yeah, that's got to wear on you a little bit.
Well, yeah, I mean, it seemed like it was a lot at the time because we were first starting out and we just jumped right into it.
Right.
But now I'm on like a 20 race schedule with the Rebel region. I'm like, man, I need to get racing more, man. I'm still looking at the race rig a little bit too much.
And so where else would you run at? Okay, so we say we run the Rebel, we're running all these races. Are there races that obviously could you run around here? Where would you run at? Is there 360 action going on across the state, across the southeast, Georgia, Alabama, South Carolina, et cetera?
Other than the Rebel series, I mean, there's the Carolina series that runs a little bit of parts of Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina. But, I mean, it's all a matter of money. And, I mean, if
right.
I had the money, I'd go run everywhere. I mean, I'd pack my stuff up every weekend and haul if I had to go racing. It's just
right.
gas.
And so there's good shows everywhere. You could find a good show anywhere you wanted to go. That's the cool thing about it. So, that's interesting.
If I had the money, I could race every weekend.
Yeah, I love that. It's somebody, Jack. I tell you, that's what you like to hear in your driver, man, versus, you know, I don't really want to get out there and work on the car today. You like to hear that? No, man, I want to race every single day. So, you got to love that, man. Tell me, Matt, real quick about your sponsors and everybody that makes it all happen for you over there.
Right now, it's just all an inside job. My dad.
There you go.
Yeah, independent printing. But we're taking on any lookers.
Well, I tell you, if you're looking to get on the car, Matt's the car to get on, because I saw him out at Winter Nationals. It's like I said, man, that car, when you see it out, hey, and I can't wait to see it at Ocala, man, coming on turn four. I was telling somebody earlier, I said, two wide. I said, no, brother, I'm talking three and four wide when they come off turn four. What time are you guys going to get to the track tomorrow? And literally your first laps around the track, what are you going to be thinking about?
Well, I mean, obviously it's going to be all of our first time at the racetrack. No one's going to know what's going on. So, I mean, we're going to definitely feel the track out in hot laps. We'll probably get there around 1 o'clock because I plan on pulling out of the race shop about 11 tomorrow. I think it's about 2 hours to get there. And just get a look at the track, get a look at the surface, what we think it's going to do, and just feel it out. Not be too crazy off the bat and get your stuff torn up.
And you guys, obviously, once again, I'm new to the dirt side. Tires are a big deal for you guys. I know there's a lot of thought and preparation that goes into picking out what tire you're going to run. Is that correct, or do they give you the tire in the series to run?
Well, we have spec tires. We can only they make a really soft right rear tire that's available for sprint cars, but we are only allowed to run a medium. They have a soft, a medium, and a hard. Mm-hmm. And medium is as soft as we can go. We can run a hard if we want to, but not a lot of people do unless it gets really rubber down and it'll take the tread right off the tires.
Mm-hmm.
But it's pretty much all about stagger.
Interesting.
Get the size left rears that we can run depending on the track size and like corner, apex. Like,
gotcha. I
know Ocala is going to have that really sharp turn four, so we're probably going to want to run a lot of stagger to get through that corner.
Gotcha.
It just changes everywhere you go, depending on the layout of the track, the surface, everything.
But I was telling somebody else, I was like, man, Castor and Camber, I guess, don't really mean a lot over here on the dirt side because your front wheel on the ground.
Not really. It's pretty much.
Don't really scrub off much speed there. Yeah, so. So tell me once again. Once again, if you are guys are listening, make sure you come out. Matt Tiffany on the phone with us here, Southeast Dirt Weekly. Jack, once again, we had one of the elderly statesmen on with us, and now we got a youngster that's running in the 360 series, and he's got his own, you know, mission to knock it down, and looks like he's, you know, set his sights on here. And I wouldn't be surprised if he didn't come away with a double dose of the checkered flag this weekend.
Yep, should be fun up there at Ocala Speedway this tomorrow night, actually, Friday night.
Tomorrow night. That's what I love about it, man. It's
April
like,
11th.
Before you know it, it's like, ooh, it's the race time.
So yeah.
Thanks for coming on Southeast Dirt Weekly. We look forward to seeing you here at Ocala, and we'll talk to you in the pit.
All right, look forward to seeing you. Come down and say hi to me, and I look forward to seeing everyone come down to the race tomorrow night and support us.
Will do, man. Everybody over in Daytona, get in your car and get over here tomorrow night.
Absolutely.
Man. Local guy. Holy smoke, man. Matt Tiffany. You can't ask for a better. I mean, that youngster, very nice, well prepared, very nice guy. He said his dad just had surgery, not going to be able to make it out there. His granddad is coming out to help him, and that's their crew, him and his granddad, Friday and Saturday night, East Ocala and East Bay, back to back.
All right, and Scotty, next week, from what I understand, you have another. Turncoat?
Maybe kind of, sort of. We want to have a guest on that everybody in the asphalt side knows really, really well, and had a chance to speak to him today after a long, long time. And he's got some things going on, but one of the things might be in the works is a dirt ride. And
I got it.
A little bit.
Scotty, as the show was going on, you and I talked about him coming on, this guy, and I'll let you hang on to the name for a minute, but we talked about this driver before we came on the air tonight. During the show, I remembered his very first time ever on a dirt track at East Bay when the Sarah Modified Tour came to Asphalt Series, came to East Bay to race on dirt. Because Rick Day woke up with a bad headache or something and planned that one. And this driver went out there, tried to qualify, went down into turn one, the very first turn, and he couldn't get around the track. He was so stressed, man. It was
and then when you put the name on top of it, let's see, this driver has won on asphalt. Let's see.
He's the Iron Man.
Yeah, he is the Iron Man. He's won them all. He's done it all. He's won the state championship, I know, twice.
Late models, modifieds, you name it.
You name it. He's raced it. He's done it. He's been on it. And just a regular good guy to be around. Dwayne Dempsey, we're going to have him on the show, and he's going to talk about the possibility of a dirt ride. And after we got off the phone and talked about Ocala Speedway, he was even more jacked up. He goes, I never really liked that track, but I won over there all the time. And he did. He slayed him over here in that doggone open wheel car that he had, that ATEC transmission machine, slayed him in that thing. And I got off the phone, and he was talking to him about it. He goes, tell me about the track and all that kind of stuff. And so he was talking about it, and he's going to come up here in a couple of weeks to Ocala, and then he's going to make a stop down at East Bay as well, and then he's going to see about getting a dirt car together. So
yeah, that's cool.
We'll have him next week on the show. So I talked about Mike Bresnahan, I talked about Wayne and Rich Pratt. He's like, oh, man, I got to get me a car. Actually, He's doing some karting stuff right now.
And I'm telling you, I have this theory, and I've been saying this for the last few weeks on all of the shows I'm involved with on Real Racing USA, is I have this theory that, you know, guys like Mike Bresnahan and Dwayne Dempsey and Wayne Anderson, of course, the more of these kind of guys, high-profile asphalt late model drivers who have had great success, the more those guys that come over and race dirt, not just here in Florida but around the country, the more there's this little shift a bit. They bring fans with them, and there's a whole lot of race fans who they don't go to dirt races because they just never got into it. Once they come, they're going to get into it, and I say the bottom line is, Scott, it's going to help the whole racing game because it's going to put more pressure on the asphalt tracks to step up to the plate and put on.
And they'll do so. And they will do so.
And they will do so and put on better shows, more exciting shows.
Yeah, there's no doubt in my mind that they will do it, and that's the good thing about it. So, yeah, the other night I started thinking about, let's see, who else can we get in a dirt car? And so my last person here in Florida that I want to see in a dirt car that I don't know, he might have, is Mario Gosselin.
Yeah.
He's probably running up there in the dirt.
Sure.
In the ARCA series.
He's probably running in the snow.
You're right. I mean, he's probably run dog sled races. But, but yeah, I want to put him in a doggone car, too. So, yeah, I'm basically going to try to drag all my old asphalt friends over here. But
next week.
I got that. So we'll have him on next week and talk to Dwayne Dempsey. And we'll get with him. And then, of course, once again, I want to thank everybody for listening to the show. I want to thank Brandon Ford. Of course, we want to thank Ford of Ocala, Advanced Auto Parts, Scott Sicalo, and the guys up here in Ocala doing a fantastic job. Make sure you support all the Advanced Auto Parts here and in Alachua County. And thank everybody for listening to Southeast Dirt Weekly. Tune in, man. We'll go talk next week about some late model action that'll be going on. But week, once again, make sure you get out Ocala Speedway Friday night, tomorrow night, 8 o'clock, ASCS 360 Sprints. We're going to back that up the next night down in Tampa at Gibsonton, Florida, East Bay Raceway Park, the Clay by the Bay. Make sure you're there, and thanks for tuning in to Southeast Dirt Weekly.
See ya. Following is a presentation of Real Racing USA.
Carnac.com, your